starts off with an Itziv. Okay, there's an introduction that he writes to every Sefer, meaning before Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Shmos, Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Devarim, he writes an introduction. In his introduction, he brings down a Gemara in Sanhedrin. This Gemara in Sanhedrin is Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. It says the Torah's Kohanim has more diverse ways of learning it, of understanding it, than any other part of the Torah. Every other part of the Torah, everyone agrees there's such a thing called Pshat. Pshat is, you look at the Diyukim inferences or drushos that come out of a pasuk, you see certain things and you can understand it from every word, every letter, every smoke, whatever it is. That's called Pshat HaMikra. And that is equal by every sefer, because every letter has something to learn from. Every trup has something to learn from. You don't have more by one sefer than you do by the other sefer. It's however many letters you have, that's what you got. So when it comes to this, when it comes to something, I guess you can say it's called Panim LaTorah. When it comes to facets that the Torah owns, in that case, Vayikra has more than anyone else. So the Gemara says, Menashe, who was a tremendous Rasha, but a son of a big Talmud Chacham Chizkiyah, Menashe was able to learn Torah's Kohanim, Vayikra, in 55 different ways. 55 different ways to learn up Torah's Kohanim. Achav had 85 different ways. Achav, the evil king, Ahab, wife of the husband of Jezebel that killed all the Talmud Chacham of Klal Yisrael, he had 85 different ways of learning the drushos of Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra. 85. Yerubam ben Nevat, who made the Egle Azov, tremendous Rasha, the first king of Bnei Yisrael, 103 ways. 103 ways altogether. It's not just coincidental that it was on Daf Kuf Gimel in Sanhedrin, but I did find that a little bit funny. But Yerubam ben Nevat, 103 different ways. It's only 102 blot in. So he says the following. He says, what does that mean exactly? This Sefer of Vayikra contains Kabbalos, Mesorah, something that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, Kabbalos Sheba Alpeh and Torah Sheba Alpeh, that does not exist anywhere else, that doesn't have as many by any other Sefer. How do we understand that? It's because of the following. Listen, Negayim, Tzaras, has two Parshios, all about Tzaras, Hezriah and Mitzorah. Two Parshios all about Tzaras itself. And yet, the Mishnayis, the Negayim, are not that big. In comparison to Olos, Mishnayis Olos, in which there's 23 Prakim. 23 Prakim. You know how many Psukim are written about Olos? About Tumas Ol? You got one Pasuk that you're learning all Tumas Ol from. One Pasuk. And yet you have 23 Prakim of Mishnayis. In comparison to Negayim, which is two Parshios, and you have about 13 or 14 Prakim. What's the reason for that? Why would it be that one thing has more than all the others? What does that work? How does that work exactly? The Pshat is because Olos has more Kabbalos. There were more Mesorahs given down to Moshe Rabbeinu than it was by Negayim. That's the idea behind it. Torah's Kohanim, the Medrash and Sefer Vayikra, is not going into Pshat. It doesn't get into the Pshat of Mikra. That's not what it's all about. It's to bring down all the Kabbalos we can, all the Mesorahs, everything like that. Not the Diyukim that could be argued upon because everyone looks at things differently. It's the Mesorahs, the things that are brought down from Moshe Rabbeinu, that are brought down that we can understand, that we bring down for ourselves to be able to darshan all the way out there. Those are the things that are not coming directly from Pshat in the Pasuk. Those things that are not exactly within the letters of the Pesukim themselves. And that's the difference between Sefer Vayikra from Sefer Shmos and Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Bamidbar and Sefer Devarim. That's the difference between these two, and that explains the Medrash Rabbah. Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. God saw that it was good, referring to the world being created. It's a reference to Torah's Kohanim, to Vayikra, which is filled with halachos and lights up for other people to be able to see. That's the concept of what Vayikra is. This helps us understand the idea of halacha as a whole, because when you paskin halachos, halachos are not just inferences that you're looking inside the psukim. If you go through the Sefer and you see the Mesorahs that are not based on the actual pasuk itself, it's just what Moshe Rabbeinu was told. That's how you paskin halachos. There are kabbalas that we need, ideas that we get from our Rebbeim, Mesorahs that come down from generation to generation to generation. That's what we're learning from Sefer Yikra. It's all about the Mesorah, not about the Dukim and things like that. That's the idea, guys. Now, that's number one. There's a famous Rambam in Mori Nevuchim that asks, what's the point of Korbanos? I spoke at Shalit today. It was a surprise Shalit speak. Rabbi Twersky was supposed to be there. Very embarrassing. Because if you ever walked in when somebody else was supposed to speak and everybody came for that person, and you walk in and you're just like, oh. You're like, you heard the one guy was just like, oh, I didn't come for this. And he got up and he left.
No.
Came back 3 minutes later and he's like, I couldn't do that to you. I'm like, shut up. I feel worse already. Right? There was an older woman. You know, older women have no ability to hold themselves back. We all know that, right? There's an older woman who looked there and she just said, what? I didn't come for this. Like out loud, right? And everybody's like, okay. You know, it's just, so you have to start off with a little bit of a joke.
Was it your mom?
What? It was your mom. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. No. It was real kind to repeat. Okay, what can you do, right? There's a famous Rambam that brings down his reason for Kabbalah. I spoke about it there, and I gave as many jokes as possible to be able to get everybody into it. It was just like, you know, the thing.
What? You should have put on a strangle and stuff.
So that's what I said. One of my jokes was that had I known that it was Rabbi Twersky, I would have put on a strangle. My first thing was Rabbi Friedman came up to me right after Kriyas Torah. And he came up to me after Kriyas Torah, gave me a sheet of paper, and the sheet of paper said, Rabbi Twersky can't make it today. We need someone to take over at Shalom. To which I nodded my head. To which I meant, no, I know. To which he took from that, you're doing it. No, that's how I got there. So one after the other, regardless, here's a reason for Kabbalah. Says the Rambam, right? Yeah, thank God. He's in New York for a wedding. But that's that. It says the Rambam, the purpose of Korbanos is to knock down Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They held that sheep, goats, and cows were Avodah Zarah. That was what they were. That's what they stood for. So what the Rambam says is we bring those animals up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say these animals are garbage. These animals are nothing. We give them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sacrifice them. We say they're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. That's what we say regarding these things. The Ramban, Nachmanides, asks tons of questions in the Rambam, four of them to be exact. They go through absolutely everything over here and understand what exactly comes out. However, the Rambam himself in Hilchos Me'ilah, Perek Ches, Halacha 38. I still can't do it in Hebrew yet, so I'm sorry. 8:38. It says Lamechas. And Ches Lamechas says that Gematria I'm fine with. It's the other way around, like when you're trying to put it the other way. It says the following. A person should try to understand all the laws of the Torah HaKedosha if he can. And if he can't understand them, he still must treat them as mitzvos, and he has to continue keeping them, even though he doesn't understand why God would give such a thing. So he gives an example. Chukim are laws that we can never figure out, even if you put your brain into it. And all korbanos are in this category of chukim. All korbanos are laws that we cannot understand. Chazal tell us that because of avodas korbanos, the whole world exists. But we don't understand the reasoning behind it. We don't understand what it goes with. Now, wait a second. The Rambam said in Mori Nebuchim that the whole reason of Korbanos is because we want to knock down Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Here you're telling me there's no real reason for it. So what's the Rambam doing? So Rabbi Yaakov points out, notice that he said, we have to understand all the laws of the Torah HaKedosha. Says Rabbi Yaakov, he doesn't remember where the Rambam uses Torah HaKedosha throughout the whole Rambam. What's the Rambam adding on with the word Torah HaKedosha? Here's the pshat. Chukim are so far away from our intellect. They're so kadosh that if we can find any reason to understand them, anything that we can do to try to grab them and take them out for ourselves, we should do it. And if we can't find any reason, no matter how hard we try, if we can't do anything about it, we still have to do that. It's exactly what the Rambam did. The Rambam couldn't understand the reason behind Korbanos. He said, you know what? I'll give you a silly reason seemingly. The reason is to knock down the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's another reason to keep Korbanos. Here's an idea of why we're keeping Korbanos. I'll give you that reason and all together. Is it really just a silly reason?
Of course not.
The Rambam is trying to teach you a lesson. What's his lesson that he's getting out of Korbanos? Which is not the real reason for Korbanos. But you got to learn something out of the Torah. So what are you supposed to do with that? Especially nowadays, we can't do any Korbanos. We're missing over 200 mitzvos. Over 200 mitzvos that deal with Korbanos. We cannot do them. Because none of the Korbanos exist today. So what are we teaching out of Korbanos? What does that mean? Says Rabbi Yaakov. Says the Rambam. There are three ways to find your path in Derech Hashem. Find your way to get closer to God. Three ways. The first way and the best way is through the Torah itself. Learn, understand what you're learning, go through it as best you can, and if you do so, you will get close to God. Because you're saying, this is God's Word. If this is God's Word, it obviously has some importance, it obviously has some relevance to me. What am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to understand this? So I'm going to go through it and I'm going to understand it myself. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is known as an Eved Hashem. That's the easiest and best way to find yourself to Avodas Hashem. However, not everybody's made for learning. Not everybody has the zitzfleisch, or the, I guess, the stamina to be able to sit down. You like that? I know, Chaim Berlin. Zitzfleisch, the stamina to be able to sit down and learn all the way through. You can't do that. So a second way of finding understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu is through tefillah. If you daven well, you can get a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu even though you don't have that connection through Torah. You can daven and feel like somebody's answering you. The answer might be no, but you feel like somebody's answering you, somebody's talking to you. That's a second way to connect with your Creator, albeit it's not as good as your connection through Torah. But that's a second way of finding a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then there's number three. The third way of finding your way to a Kodesh Baruch Hu is through Korbanos. If neither of the above work for you, here's what Korbanos teaches. Do something. Oh, by the way, I thought that maybe what Rabbi Yaakov was saying is that there was intellectually, that's through Torah, emotionally, which is tefillah, and the third is Korbanos. Korbanos means if you can't do anything else, at least keep yourself away from them. If you can't find a way to get close to God through what He gave you, or the easier ways, then at least go the other way around. Find a way why you are not like the other nations of the world. Knock down their Avodah Zarah. See why the Islamic faith and the Christian faith and the Indians and Chinese, and they don't make any sense. Knock down their Avodah Zarah, and if you do that, then you'll find your way to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because you realize this is the most real. That's the concept. Knock down atheism, especially agnostics, the idiots. You get around to all these people and instead deal with what the you're left with nothing. You go back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody can do that, but that's the third way of finding a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That if you can't find it through anything else, that's how you go. They're definitely chukim. We definitely can't understand Korbanos, but if you use them correctly, you can use them as another way to get closer to Hashem Yisparach, and that's the purpose of Korbanos, and that's what the Rambam meant by giving a reason even though they don't make any sense. So let's get to the beginning of the parsha. We haven't even started the parsha yet. Vayikra starts off with a little aleph. In every Sefer Torah, in every Chumash, you see a tiny little aleph over there. The Baal HaTorah brings down, and Rashi hints to it, that Moshe Rabbeinu never wanted to write the word Vayikra, because that sounded, it connotes the fact that he's a great man. Instead, he wanted to use the word Vayikor. Vayikor is a less chashav lashon. It's a lashon used by Bilam. Bilam had Vayikor Elokim El Bilam. God appeared in that way to Bilam without the Aleph. He wanted it to be through Vayikor. He wrote the Aleph very small. Ask the Chassam Sofer. Number one, who cares if it's small? It still spells Vayikor. What, did he accomplish anything by writing it small? Then everybody looks at it and is like, why do you write it small? Oh, because he's such a humble person. That's exactly the opposite effect of what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to write it so he wouldn't look so cautious. So don't write anything at all. Just write it regular and nobody would have noticed anything. You know, I know that. This is not the first time it says Vayikra. It says Vayikra twice. Once in Yisrael and once in Mishpatim. In 1920, Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Chof, and in Perek Chof Dalid Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says Vayikra over there also. Did anybody ask that question over there by Moshe Rabbeinu? No. You know why? He didn't write a small aleph. So writing the small aleph caught your attention. So why would he do that? Oh, you know why I wrote the small aleph? I don't want to say. I'm too big of an aleph. The exact opposite effect. That's number one. What does it do? Number two, why wouldn't it write a small aleph over there? This isn't the first time it says the word Vayikra. Then why not do it over there instead of over here? Like, just do it at the first time that a Kodesh Baruch Hu calls Vayikra. You should say Yikra with a small aleph. Number three, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. The man Moshe was very much an anav, very much a humble person. The pasuk is missing a yud. It should be written ayin nun yud vav. Instead, it's written ayin nun vav. Again, why is it missing a yud? Says Rashi, he didn't want to write the full word anav to say that he's such a humble person. He took out the yud, so he says he wasn't such a humble person. Again, the exact same question. That begs the question, so why he write it? Oh, it's because he's such a humble person. I mean, that's exactly what's the point? Why are you doing it over there? Here's the pshat. Says the Chassam Sofer. Everyone knows that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was not like any other Navi's nevuah. When another Navi saw something, when another Navi saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was called Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira. He saw things through opaque glass. It was as if it was a mirror, and he was imaging himself, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his own image, talking to him. But he could not see through the glass. It wasn't Me'ira. It didn't clearly go through. That's how a Navi, a normal Navi, saw Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every Navi except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was a little bit different. This is actually a great example. It's called Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. Now if you look at this glass, there is a mirrored image, but you can still see things beyond it. During the day, it's clearer. At night, it's a little bit harder. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah only happened during the day. It never happened at night. He was looking through a window and seeing on the other side while also seeing a reflection of himself. That's Aspaklaria HaMe'ira, clearer glass, the greatest vision that any person, any human being can have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no malach in between. It's a direct conversation between him and God. Every other Navi had a malach, some type of malach in between. Either it was Metat, you know, Metatron, that's the name that you're not supposed to say fully in Hebrew, or Sandal, or some other type of malach that went in between the Michal or Gabriel. There was no one who spoke directly peh el peh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu except for Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who had it. Now, to understand what we're talking about over here, you have to go to the end of Parshas Pekudei. The very end of Pekudei says, toward the very, very end, you have the Pesukim, it says, Ve'echasa onan es olmoid, the cloud covered up the olmoid, u'chvod Hashem maleis mishkan, and the honor of God filled up the mishkan. Lo yachol Moshe levol olmoid. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to go into the olmoid. Why? Kishachan olav anan. Because the cloud covered it up completely. U'chvod Hashem maleis mishkan, and therefore the cover of Hashem, right, filled up the mishkan. Ve'alos anan me'al mishkan, when the cloud went up, Yisu b'nei Yisrael mi'chol maseim. That's when b'nei Yisrael traveled. Vim lo yel anan, but if the cloud did not go up, Lo Yisu Ad Yom Ha'al, so they wouldn't go anywhere until the cloud went up. Ken Hashem al Mishkan Yomam Da'ishtia Laila Bo. There was a cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mishkan during the day. At night there was a fire. Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maseim, so that B'nai Yisrael saw that wherever they were. Starts our pasuk. Vayikra al Moshe, he called out to Moshe, Vayidaver Hashem Yilav Me'ol Moed Le'imo. And he spoke to him from the Ol Moed saying. See, here's the idea, says the Chassam Sofer. It could be that the kavod of Hashem is not how Moshe Rabbeinu usually spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was like any other Navi. Any other prophet spoke to the kavod of Hashem, the honor of Hashem. That was like a malach. It was a malach or some type of vision, the Shechina, so to speak, that spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu like it did by any other Navi. It spoke from outside the Mishkan and called out to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe Rabbeinu to come inside the Ol Moed. That's what happened. So there was an Aspaklaria She'ina Me'ira that called Moshe Rabbeinu in, and once Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Mishkan, then he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. That's when he had the real Nevuah of Aspaklaria HaMe'ira that Moshe Rabbeinu had. That's by Yikra El Moshe, that the covet of Hashem called out to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then by Yadaber, Yud Kei Vod Kei Elof Me'o Moed. Then God Himself spoke to Moshe. Notice, He does not say by Yikra Hashem El Moshe. I'm going to use the word self. It doesn't say Vayikra Adonai El Moshe. It just says Vayikra El Moshe. What called out to Moshe? The kavod of Hashem. Now it's Vayidaber Adonai Himself Elov Me'ol Moed. In the midst of the Moed, that's when it was Aspaklaria Me'ira, and that's the difference between them. Okay, now let's understand something. Which was more common by Moshe Rabbeinu? Which was uncommon? The speaking from outside the Mishkan, or the speaking from inside? That's Aspaklaria She'ina Me'ira, or that's Aspaklaria HaMe'ira? We know that the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was normally spoken to was when he was inside, when it was a clear vision. When he was outside, that was rare. See, here's the pshat. Bilam normally spoke with demons and Malchei Mashkes, angels of destruction. Out of honor for B'nai Yisrael, a nevuah came to him from God Himself, a direct nevuah from God Himself. That's called Vayikor. Vayikor comes from the Lashon. Does anybody know the word Vayikor? The Lashon of Kara, Mikra. Mikra, that it just happens to be. Normally, Bilam didn't get that. The Mikra, this time, it happened to be he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was rare. Moshe always spoke to God directly. That wouldn't be B'mikra, that would be the normal way of God speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was B'mikra when God spoke to him outside of the Ol Moed? When it was God's Aspaklaria She'ina Me'ira, the covet of Hashem that spoke to Moshe, that was rare. So really it should write at the beginning of the Parsha, Vayikor El Moshe. Why should it be Vayikor? It should be that a rare thing happened. that it wasn't God directly that spoke to him. A malach called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went in, and then God spoke directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, which was the normal thing to happen. Here's the pshat. Moshe, out of his humility, didn't want us to know that his prophecy was so much different than all the other Nevi'im. So he wrote it with an aleph so that he would show everybody that, oh, this is the normal way I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The normal way is that I'm outside the Mishkan, and God doesn't speak to me directly. He normally speaks to me with a mouth. That's who I am. That shows how big of an Anav he is. He wrote it with an aleph to show you that it's common for him to be spoken that way, when really it was rare for him to be spoken that way. It shows his anibus, because we know the truth, while Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to trick us. That's the concept of what it was. So why is it small? Why would he write it small? Because where do you think this letter came from? There's no extra letters in the Torah. You can't just add on a letter and just say, okay, I'm putting in an aleph over here. So where did the aleph come from? When Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav, he took out the yud because he didn't want everybody to know he was an anav. What happened to the yud? The size of a yud is the size of a small aleph. And that yud became the small aleph of Vayikra. He used that ink for this small aleph over here. That's the concept. So I don't know exactly what it means, but somehow you can use ink from one to the other. And that's the fact. He used that yud from Anibus to show that he's not an abnormal Navi, to try to trick us into thinking he's an abnormal Navi. But he didn't have enough ink to be able to make a full aleph. So instead he made a small aleph. He didn't have much of a choice. Had he had an aleph available, then he would have used an aleph. He didn't have anything available. There was no other way. Okay. One last thing over here, though. He was supposed to tell Bnei Yisrael words of Musar. So God told him, I want you to tell over B'daber Bnei Yisrael, speak harshly to Bnei Yisrael. You want to know what the Musar is? The Musar is, says Rashi, tell them that God only speaks to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because of them. Oh, that's some pretty harsh Moshe there, God. You're telling us that Moshe is not great in and of himself. He's only great because I'm here. And if I wasn't here, Moshe wouldn't be so great. That's some harsh Moshe. You really got me there. You're right. I must not be so good. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's Divrei Kavushin. So that's great news for the Jews. That's awesome news. They're now in great spirits. God is only speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu because of them. So how is that Moshe? Listen to this Moshe. Says the Chassam Sofer. A king had a massive troop, an army, that was doing tremendous things and won many wars. They fought many wars and they won everything. Everything was going well. The king wanted to reward them. So he decided, you know what I'm going to reward them with? I'm going to give them special clothing. No longer will they wear the normal army fatigues. They're going to wear special clothing. There'll be a special elite troop that will only be used by special things. I don't know, commandos, so to speak. They'll have all black. And they'll be able to go in certain instances, and they won't be like the rest of the army. So I want to give them that special clothing just for them. So he went to the general, and he said to the general, I'd like you to come into my palace. Bring them into the palace, and he starts counting out huge amounts of money to give to the general, so that the general can distribute it amongst all the soldiers, so they'll all get this special clothing. Starts counting it up and everything. As that happens, an officer came into the king, and he said, I'm sorry to inform you, but the guy sinned. Those people that you wanted to give this special clothing to, they did terrible things. They sinned terribly, and they should be punished in front of the king. He said, what did they do? He said, they took advantage of some of this, and they did all these things. They did terrible things, and they wanted to go after another king. They wanted to worship another king. They wanted to go into another nation. It said, the king turned to the general and said, I see that it's not the people. It's you. It's the general that's so important. So all this money is going to you. You use it for whatever you want. If you want, you can give it to the nation. You can give it to your soldiers, but I'm not giving it directly. And whenever I have a direct order that I want to give to them, it's no longer going to go from me to them. It's going to go from me to you, and you're going to go ahead and tell it to them. Because I trust you as a general, I no longer trust them as an army. So what's the name, Shal? Well, what are we referring to? It's obviously Bnei Yisrael, right? Bnei Yisrael is the army. Moshe Rabbeinu is the general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. He usually is, by the way. That's usually how it goes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bnei Yisrael, you guys did such good things, you're so holy, I want to give you the Torah. That's the huge amounts of money. I want you to be different. I want you to wear crowns on top of your head every day that's a Nasa V'Nishma on it. I want you to be a different people. So he gives all the money over to the general. He gives the Torah over to the general to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, give it down to Bnei Yisrael. I want there to be a direct conversation between Me and Bnei Yisrael all the time. If they have any questions, they can ask me, and I'll answer them. I want there to be a direct conversation. But when the Egel Azov happened, and they sinned, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it wasn't them, it was you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So instead, you're going to be my intermediary. I'll speak to you, and you'll speak to them. So here's the pshat. God told Moshe to tell the people, go tell Bnei Yisrael that you are going to tell them everything they need to know, and I'm only speaking to you because of them. What did he mean? I should be speaking to them. But because they sinned, now I'm speaking to you. And it's their own fault. That's the mustard. Do you realize what you lost, Bnei Yisrael? We could have had direct conversations all the time. But now I'm speaking to Moshe because of you. When Bnei Yisrael heard that, they understood. They understood what they lost. They understood what kind of idea they had lost because of it. Okay. I'm going to end off with this little thing about Kufresh. It's a crazy, crazy little idea. Here's the idea, guys. The last point is simple. Yalkut Reuveni says there was a little bit of extra ink. I don't know if it's extra from the Yud to the Aleph. I don't know what kind of ink it was. It was a little bit of extra ink left in his pen. So what do you do with that extra little ink? What do you do with it? So Yalkut Reuveni says it became a shine. Moshe Rabbeinu splattered it on his face, which is good for anyone. And when he splattered on his face, it became a shine. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain the second time in Yom Kippur, he had such a shine that shone from his face, he had to wear a mask, a masveh, that no one would be able to go blind from seeing Moshe Rabbeinu's face. They're called the carne hod. Michelangelo thought it was horns because he's an idiot. And the rays of light that came from Moshe Rabbeinu's face, all coming from the little ink, that little tiny bit of ink. Guys, how does ink become carne hod? What does that mean? What does that mean? What is that referring to? What's the drush? What are we trying to learn from that? What do we take from such a thing? In Shabbos 104a, Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, it says, the Dardikim, the young children learning in preschool, taught something, the little children, they taught something that even Yoshua ben Nun didn't know. What did they teach? Aleph Beis stands for Aluf Bina. That means you learn Torah. That the ultimate is to learn Torah. Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalet. Give Parnasa to the poor people. And they go on. Hey Vav is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, goes on. The very end of it is Kuf Resh. Kuf Resh. What's Kuf Resh? Kuf stands for the idea of Kadosh. Resh is a Rasha. Here's what the Gemara says. Mamash unbelievable. The Kuf is facing the Resh. It's facing the Resh. It's looking toward the Resh. But the Resh turns its back on the Kuf. You know why? Because the Rasha, when the Kadosh person wants to help the Rasha, what does the Rasha do? The Rasha runs away because he's embarrassed of his sins. The Rasha runs away and turns his face away from the Kuf so that the Kuf can't catch him. But the Kuf has a little line there. You know what the line is there for? That if the Rasha ever turns back around, he'll see that there's a place out there for him to grab onto, and he'll be able to do tshuva and come back. Because the Kuf in and of itself is a Resh. Just what's the difference in the Kuf and the Resh? That little line. One came back, one didn't. That's the concept of a Kadosh and a Rasha. Okay, ready? Vayikor by Bilam. That God appeared to Bilam. Vav Yud is God. That's the Vav and the Yud is Shem Havaya. Kuf Resh, says the Chazam Sofer, is the Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who turned to Bilam and offered him a chance. He told him, if you don't curse Bnei Yisrael, if you don't go, you'll be on my side. Do you want it or do you not? What did the Rasha do? The Rasha turned his face and ran to go curse Bnei Yisrael. What did Bilam call himself? Nofel Ugluyenayim. He fell down to the ground while he opened his eyes. You know why he fell down to the ground? Because when God, the Kadosh, appeared to the Rasha, he couldn't look at the Kedusha. So he fell down to the ground because he wouldn't be able to look at that Kedusha. He is the Resh, and that's Vayikor by Bilam. Now hold on. Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't look. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu not look at the Kadosh Baruch Hu? By the snap. He was also He didn't look at the Kedushin. How does that work? Pshat is, every tzaddik thinks they're a Rasha. They think they themselves are not deserving of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, Moshe Rabbeinu, who considered himself a Rasha, turned his face away so he wouldn't look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a difference. Even when he turned his face away, he understood that there was something he had to do. What did he have to do? He had to still learn Torah. So he didn't fall down in the ground. He turned his face and he kept his head in the game. He still understood he had to learn Torah. So that's represented by an aleph, that he was aloof. He was learning the whole time, even when he turned his face away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't turning away because he was embarrassed. He turned his way because he was still learning. When it writes the word Vayikra, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want to say that. It sounds like I'm a big tzaddik. I don't want the aleph over there. So he made the aleph a little bit small. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you make yourself small, I'll make you great. What happens when you lower yourself in Torah learning? God gives you Torah learning. What's the highest level that you can get to in Torah? What do we call it? What level is it? 50th level, right? The Nun Sharei Bina. So when Moshe Rabbeinu turned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he became that Reish, that Rasha, so to speak, thinking he was a Rasha, turning away and tried to learn instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you will get the Nun Sharei Bina. Kuf, Reish, Nun is the Karen, the shine of the Hod that Moshe Rabbeinu had. By Moshe Rabbeinu taking the extra ink and writing the Aleph small and lowering himself, he was given a reward to become great. What's the greatness? The Nun Sharei Bina. How do we represent that in Olam Hazeh? How do we know that a person is on the highest level of Torah learning? How do you know that? If his face shines. That's the Karen. When he lowered himself, he was ma'anev of himself and said, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I try to learn but I can't do it, that's when he got the Karen, the Karnei Hod that put on top of him. And it all came from that extra ink. So our three lessons, the three things we learned from over here is, number one, we have an introduction to Sefer Vayikra, that this Sefer is all about the Misoras that were brought down from Har Sinai. Number two, we spoke about the Rambam by Korbanos, and what the Rambam meant, what the point of Korbanos are, and what the Rambam is trying to teach us, that sometimes you got to find God in the strangest way, by not holding of everything else. And number three, there's a small aleph. And that small aleph truly shows the anivus, the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, and told them everything we need to know about Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was the story of all of Bnei Yisrael, the story of what Moshe Rabbeinu stood for. The one that I would go with on Shabbos is that Rambam. That Rambam is the easiest way.